is the JR Sport Brief Show here, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 3 hours. This is a four-hour show. It gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. How can you listen to the show? The free Odyssey app. It's free. F-R-E-E. Thank you to everybody listening on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, wherever you might live. If you have SiriusXM, it's channel 375. If you have a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, and if you got YouTube, you can now watch the show on YouTube. It's live stream. Yeah, just go to YouTube and punch in the Infinity Sports Network. You see me sitting right here in the studio. Shout outs to everybody tuned in. And if you do so, do it safely. Don't watch and drive. Don't do that. I'm in Atlanta. Thank you to super producer and host Ryan Hickey in New York City. Thank you for Greg for helping to hold things down on the board as well. If you want to be a part of the show, it's simple. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You can find me online. I am everywhere at JR Sport Brief. And we have had ourselves one hell of a show. We talked about the Dallas Cowboys. Still don't have a coach. Big rumor comes down the pipe earlier today that Brian Schottenheimer, the offensive coordinator for the Cowboys, he might be their next head coach. I can imagine Jerry Jones is playing like the world's fanciest game of darts to figure out his next head coach. Probably has photos up of Salah and Les Frazier and Schottenheimer, Kellen Moore. And he's just sitting there, just throwing darts onto the board. And wherever it lands the most, that'll be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. It seems like that's how Jerry Jones does business, at least on the football side of things. We finally heard from Mark Andrews, tight end from the Baltimore Ravens. We saw him fumble the ball on Sunday. We saw him drop a two-point conversion. He's been in hiding. People have been mad at him. They've been sending him nasty messages because he didn't speak. Well, he spoke today. And he said a whole lot of what could you expect? It hurts. It stinks. He's going to come back, do better. He said thank you for the people who have been positive and supporting him. I say, what the hell did you want the guy to say? Sorry? It's his job. Okay, he drops a pass. It's part of the game. Get over it. Get a life. Hey, by the way, if you are someone who sent Mark Andrews a nasty message, get a life. Get one. Anyway, we also talked about Bill Belichick. Finally signed his contract as head coach of North Carolina. And as we continue on with the show, we're going to talk more football. A lot to get into. How about this? In about 15 minutes or so, we're going to have a chat with Trey Wingo. Yeah, Trey Wingo is going to come through and join us. I'm going to get his thoughts on everything going on in the NFL. Obviously, we're here at the end of the season. We got three games left. AFC Championship game, NFC Championship game, and then ultimately the Super Bowl. So we got a lot to do between now and then. And hopefully New Orleans is all thought out by then. They should be. And you know what? As a matter of fact, on the way to the Super Bowl, and this is something that the NFL has done to add more pomp and circumstance to Super Bowl week, we get NFL honors. We get a whole award show over Super Bowl weekend to ultimately crown the best of the best of the best. The MVP, the offensive player of the year, the coach of the year, defensive player of the year. We got all of that. Well, today, we finally learned the finalists. Not that we formally needed them, but we got the finalists in some of these categories. Like, for instance, the defensive rookie of the year. I think it's going to go to everybody's favorite Eagles fan. Well, no, not really. He hates the Eagles. It's Jared Verse. Dude coming out of Florida State just went out there and busted everybody's ass for the Los Angeles Rams. There's no replacing Aaron Donald, but Jared Verse, he's likely to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. Coach of the Year is probably going to be the miracle worker. Kevin O'Connell of the Minnesota Vikings. This man had to work with Sam Darnold after his rookie quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, went down with torn ligaments in his knee. Kevin O'Connell just got himself a new contract with the Minnesota Vikings. He's going to win Coach of the Year. Hickey, you disagree with me on anything so far?
So far, we are aligned.
Okay, you think about comeback player of the year. This man didn't rip any ligaments in his knee. He just bounced back from being a mediocre-ass backup quarterback. I think Sam Darnold is going to win the award. What do you think? Comeback player of the year?
I'm with you. I think he should, and I think he will.
But haven't they recently changed, like, the criteria for comeback player of the year? Don't you need to, like, get hit by a truck and then come back or have an Alex Smith, unfortunately, situation happen to you?
That's what I could have sworn that was a conversation after last year when Joe Flacco won the award.
Right.
But then, like you said, you see the finalists, and it's clearly not the case. So I don't know if that was just talked about and never implemented. I don't know if it was peeled back without really saying anything. But I was kind of confused all year. I mean, now at least we have an answer because of the finalists and Sam being one of them. But I guess now you can come back from sucking your whole career, which I think that is a comeback, right?
And this guy came back from being trash. Here he is.
Maybe Sam, the most impressive comeback.
Yeah, and then he sucked in the final two games of the year that actually mattered. Here he is. Come get your award, Sam Darnold. You stand up there and say, yeah, I lost a lot of money by being trash, but thank you for the award. And Joe Burrow is also in the category. Christian Gonzalez, the New England Patriots. And then DeMar Hamlin, who he played last year, too. Hickey, can we put him on the list every year, DeMar?
This, of all the finalists for all the awards that you have mentioned and will mention, this is by far the most surprising finalist I've seen in for any of these awards.
DeMar Hamlin?
Yes. This feels forced.
He's alive. I mean, every year that he's alive is a comeback, I guess. I don't know. God bless him.
Sure.
Yep. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I think last year was the year. I think he should have won it last year.
I agree. Not Flacco.
Right.
Flacco, he came back from his couch. Not good. Not good enough.
Right. Yeah, I would agree. But the voters, for whatever reason, said, nope, sorry, DeMar, your story is not good enough for us. We're going to go Joe Flacco. But once that happened, that chapter has to close. Okay, we're done. We're moving on. What else is, like, what's even the argument to, quote unquote, come back from at this point?
You know what, to be honest, we've had DeMar Hamlin here on this show. I'm pretty sure DeMar, I'm not going to speak for the man. I'm not him. I'm sure DeMar Hamlin is like, why the hell am I on this list? I'm sure he is. He's thinking the same thing. And then we got J.K. Dobbins, who's had leg issues and I don't know, just wild stuff. A matter of fact, this is J.K. Dobbins. He spoke earlier today. He was on Up and Adams, and he said this season, which he was also hurt throughout the course of the year, he said this season was special for him.
This season meant a lot to me, to be honest. Like, I knew like it would be a special year because of all the things that I've been through. You know, it was time for the storm to be over, you know, from the knee to the Achilles. And then I even had a little bit of, some time off there towards the end of the season, too. Mm-hmm. But I knew it was going to be a special season. I would have gotten 1,000 rushing yards, I believe, if I would have got to play all 17 games. But, you know, got to 1,000, over 1,000 scrimmage yards in 13 games, you know. So it was a great year, something to build off of. And I'm just going to get better now.
Man, I'm happy that he's at least got an off season to get healthier. I guess that's the bright side. J.K. Dobbins is not winning comeback player of the year. They're going to give it to Sam Darnold. He is reluctantly going to accept the award because the last time we saw Sam Darnold, he was a loser. That's it. You know what? Let's talk about some winners now. Let's just cut the crap and get to the brass tacks. Not that we needed this entire list. The MVP finalists. Let's throw a couple. There's five of them, by the way. I think we can toss out two of them definitely, and then probably the third. This is a two-person race. Jared Goff is a finalist for MVP. Not winning MVP. It will not be him. The Lions went 15-2. This man threw 37 touchdowns. Lions offense was dynamic. He is not winning MVP. I don't even think the fans in Detroit want to give him MVP. If he, it's not even worth discussing. Jared Goff knows he ain't winning. He should be on vacation at this point when they hand out the award, although he'll probably be in Vegas, or excuse me, New Orleans. Joe Burrow is an MVP candidate. Joe Burrow is not winning MVP. You can throw that out of the window. What Joe Burrow did win, he helped Jamar Chase win a brand new fat contract. As this guy is probably going to exceed more than $35 million, $35 million as a wide receiver. Joe Burrow led the NFL in yards and touchdowns. 4,900 yards passing, 43 touchdowns. The Bengals went 9-8. They did not make the postseason. Joe Burrow is not winning MVP. Saquon Barkley is a finalist. Saquon Barkley is not winning MVP. I'm sorry. If he would have broke the rushing record, if he would have played all 17 and he didn't need to, they rested him in that final game, then maybe Saquon would have been MVP, but he's not. 2,005 yards rushing to go along with 13 touchdowns. The Eagles went 14-3. He was the engine for the entire offense. He's also one of the reasons that you can look at A.J. Brown is probably not getting the ball as much as he would want to. Can't get mad when you're winning, though. Saquon is not winning MVP. We've known this for the better part of a month and a half, maybe 2 months. Two horse race. Josh Allen, who's on his way to another AFC championship game, and Lamar Jackson, who still doesn't know what an AFC championship game looks like, because in the playoffs he has a record of 3-5. And let's keep in mind, the MVP is a regular season award. Lamar Jackson, the Ravens losing to the Buffalo Bills in the postseason again, has no bearing on the awards which are voted on prior to the postseason. And when you look at Josh Allen's year, although his season is continuing on, 3,700 yards passing without a clear-cut wide receiver, 28 passing touchdowns to only 6 interceptions. This man had 12 touchdowns on the ground. You add that up and do some math, that's 40 touchdowns generated by Josh Allen. Matter of fact, his own teammate, someone who gets to see him all the damn time, Deion Dawkins, he said, "The Bills, we're great. We're spectacular. Matter of fact, we are America's team now because of Josh Allen."
The Buffalo Bills are America's team. You know, I don't want to take away from no one else, but I think that they call the Cowboys America's team. But Cowboys were the were America's team because they were very good in that time of life. Now the chapter has changed, and now we have Josh Allen.
What? No. I mean, there's quite a few reasons. You can look back at quarterback position as to why they were called America's team, and then they were further branded. Buffalo Bills ain't America's team. What are we talking about here? Wow, because they're red, white, and blue? No. It's the Dallas Cowboys, even though they suck. Josh Allen doesn't suck. In any other year, I would tell you that Josh Allen is MVP. And I think he's going to win MVP. But I'll tell you this. If I had a vote, of which I do not, I would select Lamar Jackson. Because the year that he has is just, or had, is absolutely ridiculous. 41 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. That's what he did when it comes to passing the football. That doesn't take into account the other 915 yards on the ground and 4 touchdowns. And it's easy for people to just go, "Oh, well, he has Derrick Henry." Derrick Henry, damn good running back, future Hall of Fame running back. Best running back 1A, 1B between him and Saquon. Saquon had a better year overall, but you can't split hairs on what Derrick Henry did. Why didn't Jalen Hurts throw 41 touchdowns to 4 interceptions? If it's so damn easy with an amazing running back, why didn't he do so? And so I think on an individual basis, the most valuable player, man, they have built the entire team. Forget offense. They have built the entire team off of Lamar Jackson and his capabilities. There is no one team in the NFL built around a single player outside of what has been done with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. I would give this dude MVP because ultimately he is the team. He is the engine. He is the offense. What he does in controlling the football determines what they do on defense. I'd give the MVP to Lamar. Do I think he's going to win it? No. It's called voter fatigue. Josh Allen doesn't have one. He's been talked about for years about potentially receiving one, no different than the Buffalo Bills being in Super Bowl contention. I think Josh Allen is going to win MVP. Me, I'd give it to Lamar Jackson. His year was ridiculous. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to be joined by a voice that is quite familiar to many of you. We're going to be joined by Trey Wingo. I'm going to ask him his thoughts on MVP. Dive a little deeper into some of the coaching issues in the NFL and what we might see in the draft. We got a lot of football to discuss. Trey Wingo on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, we are getting closer and closer to championship weekend in the NFL. AFC Championship game, NFC Championship game. We're pulling up on all the awards, getting close to the Super Bowl. This is a good time. Getting closer to a championship, but ultimately getting closer to the end of the season, which stinks. To talk about where we're at in the year, what we have seen, what we might see in the offseason, joining us is someone that you are probably very familiar with. He's currently the pregame power-up host on the DraftKings Network. It's Trey Wingo. Trey, how are you? Thank you for the time.
JR, a pleasure. Pleasure. What's up, man?
Always a pleasure. Right before you joined us, we were having this chat now that we had the MVP finalists announced. We got guys like Goff, and we know he's not winning it, and Joe Burrow. It's a two-team or two-guy race between Josh Allen pretty much and then also Lamar. And then you got Saquon in there. Where do you stand on who's likely to win MVP?
Listen, this is one of those unique situations where there's no right answer and there's no wrong answer. So what I would love, I would really love to see the award split. And people say, well, that's a cop-out. Well, it's happened before. In 2003, the first of Peyton's five MVPs, he shared it with Steve McNair. So, you know, if you look at what Lamar has done for the Ravens and what Josh has been to the Bills, I think the most equitable and just thing would be to split it. I don't know if that's going to happen, but that's what I would like to see. Saquon, if he had gotten the record, and if he had a chance to go for the record, maybe he wins it. And you could also look. Joe Burrow probably had the best season of any quarterback. If you just go look at the numbers and look at what he did, but then it goes back to the what does value mean and how do you define value in the most valuable player. So, I guess for me, I would love to see it split between Josh and Lamar.
Okay. Well, I think one debate that won't be had is who's going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. We're going to see him play on Sunday against the Eagles, and that's Jaden Daniels. What are your thoughts on what he's been able to do? I mean, obviously now he has a chance to be the first rookie to start in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I think the most important thing when you look at what Jaden has done, and I'm not sure he's going to get there because there's a couple of factors that I think are huge for Philadelphia, and we can get to those in a second, but the fact that he's in this position as a rookie and why I think that's significant as opposed to other quarterbacks that have had this opportunity. He's the sixth rookie to have the opportunity to take his team to a Super Bowl. The other five rookie quarterbacks, going back from Sean King, Joe Flacco, Mark Sanchez, and all of them, their defense was either first or third. They were either the best defense in the NFL, but the third best defense, scoring defense in the NFL. Jaden Daniels is doing this with the 18th best scoring defense in the NFL. And I think that is a testament to how different this guy is as a player. you know, if you look at the Mark Sanchez era with the Jets and all that kind of stuff as a rookie, like, he was there, but the defense was the reason that team was where they were. And same thing with Sean King in Tampa Bay and also with Joe Flacco. So for me, the outlier here is that he doesn't have that spectacular got-to-have-it, shut-him-down defense, and he still finds himself in this position. And that speaks volumes to me about what he is and the future he has in the NFL.
I mean, everybody is just kind of marvels at what he's been able to do given his rookie status. We're being joined by Trey Wingo from the DraftKings Network here on the JR Sport Brief Show. You talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, and they're dealing with some injuries on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball. Jalen Hurts, obviously, yep, limping around. Quinyon Mitchell, we don't necessarily know his status heading into the game. They still got Saquon Barkley. They still got some weapons to work with. And even on one leg, Hurts is going to be out there.
Yeah, he is. And look, if we're honest about it, Jalen Hurts, his most important function in this offense this season has been to hand the ball off to Saquon Barkley. I mean, the passing game has not been there. It hasn't been dynamic despite all the reading of inner excellence by A.J. Brown on the sidelines. So you look at how this team is built. And here are a couple of things that really jump out to me when you look at the numbers. The Washington defense is 30th in the NFL against the run. That is problematic when you have a 2,000-yard running back and arguably the best offensive line in football. And yes, Jalen is hurt, to your point. They don't want him to throw the ball. They don't want to throw it more than 15 times. They want to wear you down. And with that offensive line, they have the opportunity to do that against the Washington defense that is problematic against the run, for lack of a better term. Only two teams were worse in giving up yards per game. But the other thing that really stood out to me, and yes, there are a couple of injuries on the defensive side of the ball, but the Eagles, through the regular season and the playoffs, had the number one scoring and total defense in the NFL. Over the last 20 seasons, teams that played on Championship Sunday with the number one in overall total defense, number one scoring and overall total defense, at home specifically, are 4-0. In the Super Bowl era, they're 7-2. And I just feel like that's a huge obstacle for Jaden and the Commanders to overcome.
Hey, Trey, when you take a look at things on the AFC side, we get another matchup. At least this time, again, in the championship game, the Buffalo Bills have an opportunity, right, to go to the Super Bowl. Do you see them getting past the Chiefs?
I don't, because I'm going to be the last one out on Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs ever. Like, it's just, they've sort of become they are the Patriots of the aughts and the 2010s, right? But just so people understand how rare this is the fourth playoff meeting between these two. There's only one other quarterback duo that's had more playoff run-ins than these guys, and that's Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, who met each other five times in the postseason. And, you know, Brady won the first two, and Peyton won the last three. Well, Mahomes has won every single one of these games. And just to prove that winning is not a quarterback stat, in the four regular season wins that Josh Allen and the Bills have over the Chiefs, their numbers are worse offensively than in the three playoff losses they have to Kansas City. They average 26 points a game in the regular season against the Chiefs. They average 28 in the postseason. They average 296 yards per game in the regular season. They average 343 in the postseason. In the regular season, in those five games, the touchdown-to-interception ratio is 13-4. In the postseason, it's 9-1. So clearly, Josh and the offense have elevated themselves in almost every phase in the postseason games, but wins and losses are a team thing. And the deep Buffalo's defense has found a way to let them down time and time again. And I just feel like the Chiefs have been on this thing since the start of the year. Like, right after Mahomes scored through the touchdown to Hardman to win the Super Bowl last year, one of the first things he said is, no one's ever gotten three. And I feel like this entire Chiefs team has just sort of been playing with their food, for lack of a better term, to get to this point. They know what's on the line. They have the possibility to do something that no team has ever done. In fact, no team has ever made it back to the Super Bowl with a chance to win three, let alone win the thing. They would be the first team ever to even make it back to the Super Bowl with an opportunity to win three, and I think that's what they're playing for. And I think they, up until now, everything has been, okay, this is fine, we have to get through this, can we just get here? And they're here. And I don't see them wasting that opportunity, especially at home.
Trey Wingo is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show, courtesy of the DraftKings Network. there's been a lot of online conjecture, which doesn't always count for a lot unless it translates into a bigger personality saying it, including the Texans, about the Ravens and some of, not the Ravens, but the Chiefs and some of the calls that they receive. Do you think there naturally is a bias when you take a look at some of the best athletes, even if it is football, a violent sport?
I think that certainly could be a factor. But most of this, I think, is part of what I call CDS, which is Chiefs Derangement Syndrome. Okay, they're just tired of them winning all the time. Same thing with the Patriots when they were winning all the time. You know, Tom Brady got a phantom call of a blow to the head by Chris Jones in the 2018 championship game that kept the drive alive for them in the fourth quarter. But more importantly, I think the thing that people need to understand is that we see this all the time in the Chiefs game. That's because you see more Chiefs games. They played every day of the week this season except Tuesday. Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Okay, they are shoved into almost every primetime and national afternoon window that you possibly can get. So you see more of their games. And people talk about, like, oh, the crazy penalty against the Bengals when it was 4th and 16 in week 2. Do you know how it got to 4th and 16? On 4th and 6, they converted a first down, but it was called back for a holding penalty. So explain to me why, if the refs are pro-Chiefs and they get all these calls, why would they negate a 4th and 6 with a penalty and then allow a 4th and 16? It doesn't make any sense, is the point I'm trying to make. NFL refs are just bad. They're bad. They're very bad, and they make bad calls all the time. You just happen to see more of them in the Chiefs games because the Chiefs are on your television more.
Hey, Trey, talking about being bad. The Jacksonville Jaguars are bad, in a bad situation. I mean, I guess finally now they can get their hands on a head coach now that their general manager is out the way.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on what's going on with the Jags and in the current coaching cycle? The Cowboys might be close to hiring somebody. It's just all over the place.
Well, let's talk about the Jags first. I mean, everybody knew in the league that Trent Baalke, the GM, was going to be a problem. The last team that he was a GM with that had double-digit wins was 2013, okay? So when they got rid of Doug Peterson, the fact that they decided initially to keep Trent Baalke was a huge problem. And now it looks like that once Baalke's gone, they may be landing Liam Cohen, who was their number one choice overall from the Tampa Bay Bucs. So, you know, at least I'll give the Jags credit for realizing this wasn't going to work and they decided we need to fix this. Some of the other things, like the Cowboys, I have no idea what the hell. And I don't think Jerry does.
You're not going to coach them, Trey? You're not going to go coach the Cowboys?
Well, I'm one of the 7 people that wasn't interviewed for the Jets head coaching job. I can promise you that. But, like, you know, if they go with Brian Schottenheimer, nothing's going to change because that's a guy Jerry can control. Jerry's not only the owner, he's the GM. He's empowered 2 coaches in his entire tenure as a Cowboys owner, Jimmy Johnson, and they won 2 Super Bowls back-to-back under Jimmy, and then Bill Parcells. And they didn't win a Super Bowl under Bill Parcells, but he allowed Bill Parcells to coach that team. It's one thing to hire a coach. It's another thing to empower a coach. And Jerry has empowered only 2 coaches. And if it is Brian Schottenheimer, that coach will not be empowered any more than Dave Campo or Chan Gailey was.
Well, Trey, you talk about the New York Jets, and we know the Patriots added a coach, the Bears added a coach, Raiders still need a coach. What team do you think actually made the best decision in moving forward?
The Patriots with Mike Vrabel. I mean, they should have hired him a year ago. You know, Vrabes is just, he's perfect for that job. He's perfect for that team. He out-coached Belichick in the 2019 AFC wildcard game, in which was the last game of Belichick and Brady together in the postseason. I really like that move. You know, Ben Johnson is the hot name, but we've heard hot names before. And it's one thing to be a hot shot offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator. It's another thing to sort of, you know, figure out how to run the whole schlemiel. And so I would say that Mike Vrabel was after. I have no idea if they're going to be much better last year because they have a lot of issues, especially on the offensive side. But I think that was the best head coaching hire by far out of all of these.
Trey, I appreciate the time. I do want to ask you this. With the NFL draft coming up, we have heard from the Titans, and it could be a lot of a bluster and bluff about what they're going to do with the number one selection. What would you do if you were the Titans? You got a Travis Hunter. You have a Cam Ward there. If you're the Titans, how do you move forward?
This is a quarterback-driven league more than ever, JR. You have to have a guy that can win. And clearly with Mason Rudolph and Mr. Mayonnaise, Will Levis, they don't have one in Tennessee. So I would imagine that the most important thing is either to get a veteran quarterback, maybe like a Sam Darnold, or find one in the draft. If you don't have a quarterback, you cannot win in the NFL. And I think they have to be quarterback-centric, either with that first pick in the draft or making a move for a veteran that they can put in there for 3 or 4 years.
Hey, Trey, I certainly appreciate the time. Where can people follow you and all the work and pregame work on DraftKings Network? Tell us.
Thanks, JR. My Twitter is at Wingoz, W-I-N-G-O-Z, Trey.Wingo on Instagram. Pregame power-up is going to be on this Sunday at 11 o'clock Eastern on the DraftKings Network, and we'll be doing shows all week in New Orleans, Tuesday through Sunday. We can't wait.
And be paying attention. All the best and safe travels around, Trey, okay? Appreciate it.
All right. Anytime, JR. Thank you.
No doubt about it. That Trey Wingo, you just heard him. You can catch him on the pregame power-up on the DraftKings Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Yeah, that's right. I say that all the time in a different way. If you don't got a quarterback, you don't got nothing. It's the JR Sport Brief Show. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, speaking of the draft, we can think about a bunch of athletes who are moving from college to the pros. Is there a college coach who's going to move from college to the pros? I'm going to tell you whose name might be thrown around at some point in time on the other side of the break.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Trey Wingo for joining us in the last break to break down some NFL action. He thinks the MVP award should be split between Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. He thinks that we're going to see a Super Bowl between the Chiefs and then also the Eagles. And he said, if you are the Tennessee Titans, don't be a dummy. Get a quarterback. And I agree with him 1,000,000%. If you missed a conversation we just had with Trey Wingo, you can go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. You can also go ahead and just hit rewind on YouTube as we are streaming live on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, check out the YouTube stream if you can do so safely. Don't do it while you're driving. Don't do that. 855-212-4227 is the number. That's 855-212-4227. I will say this. We know with the NFL draft coming up, we're going to get an influx of talent into the NFL. And it's Thursday. And it feels like the championship game in college football was so long ago. Hickey, you were at the game. Does it feel like a long time ago? Or does it feel like yesterday?
No, it feels like 2 weeks ago.
Wow. Already?
Already, yeah. I feel like the fact that I was just in Atlanta 2 days ago does not seem real.
Atlanta has froze since you left. It froze, it unfroze, it thawed out. Yeah, man, time flies. Really does. Yeah, and Ryan Day also had his golf cart rammed into a wall. It seems like oh so long ago. And I think at this point in time, people can put to rest the idea of Ryan Day going to the NFL. Of course, you win a national championship. You're now a hotter commodity. You think about a lot of the talent that's come from Ohio State just over the past couple of years, whether it's guys like Marvin Harrison Jr., Garrett Wilson. You look at C.J. Stroud. Who else am I missing at the quarterback position? Oh, Justin Fields went there a couple seasons ago. I mean, we got some talent that's come out of Ohio State. Tons of it. Wait till a guy like Jeremiah Smith comes out. He can't even buy a beer yet. And so now with Ryan Day having the highest active winning percentage of any coach in college, people are really taking a look at his record of 70-10. You would think that he would get some calls to go into the league. I mean, Dan Orlovsky was on ESPN, and he said that there are plenty of teams that could use a guy like Ryan Day to lead the way. Listen to this.
I think many teams in the NFL are going to want to talk to some of the college football coaches in the college football playoff mm-hmm. that are left mm-hmm. if they lose. I don't think it's just Sark. I think teams in the Cowboys could want to talk to Ryan Day. I think they could want to talk to Marcus Freeman. I think that the way that the NFL is going is trending a little bit towards the younger coach.
Man, Ryan Day is 45 years old. Not that he's not an old coach. He's not one of these guys in his 30s. Marcus Freeman is, what, 38 years old, I think? I know the fans in Columbus, some of them can be nuts. I know they can send threats. They could be mad when they lose against Michigan. I think it would be a bad idea for him to, I don't want to say test the waters in the NFL, but why leave a good thing? All you got to do is beat Michigan and people will relax, and I get it. It can be real nutty. I mean, after they lost to Michigan, and we found that out, or found this out this week, Ryan Day's wife spoke to 10TV and said after they lost to Michigan, they had to get armed security outside of their house because of some of the threats that they were receiving. All of this because they didn't beat another football program. Listen.
The weeks between the Team Up North game and the Tennessee game were brutal. And I was very upset about what was happening to some of our players, to my children. It just wasn't right. I think Buckeye Nation is an amazing fan base. I really do. And with every fan base is that percentage that takes it too far. Before most games, you know, before Ryan leaves, he looks at the kids and I and says, no matter what happens, we'll always have each other.
The man has to send his family, if I don't make it home, I still love you messages before he leaves. This man is not going off to the other side of the planet to fight a war. This guy's going to go coach a football game. Like, if you're online just sending messages and death threats to Ryan Day or anybody or Mark Andrews because of a football game, get a damn life. Come on, man. I know Ryan Day doesn't come across as the warmest guy in the world. He doesn't come across as warm and cuddly. This guy just takes a beating. Guy got a record of 70-10 and takes a beating when he loses to Michigan. Like, get a life if you got to threaten this dude over a football game. If I'm Ryan Day, as crazy as that is, I'm not going to the NFL. I'm not. This man has been a quarterback's coach in the NFL in the past. About a decade ago, stick around. Make your $10 million a year minimum. If he goes to the NFL, he's going to get chewed up and spat out. I would deal with the pain. And you know what? Maybe with a national championship now under his belt, do I think things are going to get a lot easier? Hell no. They're still going to criticize him. Especially if he loses to Michigan, especially a rebuilding Michigan squad. But at the end of the day, the NFL would use him, abuse him, kick him out, throw him around, and then he could just have money, but then no job. I would stay at Ohio State, and I would just lean on the fact that I got a championship now. And the way the hiring cycle is going, why would he go to any of the open jobs? Ryan Day is going to go coach the Raiders? Hell no. Jaguars look like they're locking up a coach in Ian Cohen. Hickey, what other loser-ass team needs a coach? So the Saints, right? Yeah.
And the Raiders.
Yeah, why would he go and do any of that for? Like, he's going to stick around for Ohio State. But in the future, I wouldn't leave. Unless I felt there was a perfect situation with an accomplished quarterback. Outside of that, I wouldn't go anywhere. I think Ryan Day is in Ohio State for the long haul. I don't see him leaving no time soon. Hickey, what do you think?
I don't think he's leaving in large part because of the jobs you just outlined are not very good. I wonder, and I think, like, if Ben Johnson did not take the Bears job, and that's still available, I think he'd at least have to look at it. Because you just said it before. I mean, he gets all the scrutiny, all the criticism. Now it gets to the point where you have to have armed guards outside of your house because you're not sure if a lunatic's going to come and try to cause harm to you or your family, and you win a national title. It's not going away. You can have still the joys of coaching with a lot less stress in the NFL. I love college football, so I don't want to advocate for one of the best coaches to leave. But it does feel like the relationship between Ryan Day and the fan base is nowhere near healthy enough to where, like, if you're Ryan Day, you say, yeah, this is worth putting up with.
Wow.
It's to the point where I would absolutely consider. Probably, again, jobs are not good right now, but one comes open, I would definitely take a look at it.
Well, if he wins a championship next year, which is, you know, you take a look at the odds, unlikely. But if he does, on the way out the door, he can just say, hey, I'm leaving. I won y'all another championship. Y'all can kiss my ass. No, he doesn't want to do that, right? No, that'd be
worse. Like, leaving a title makes it easier. That's for sure. You're not looking like a coward.
Well, you could do what Harbaugh just did, right? Last year, Harbaugh was also criticized. I don't think people were threatening him. I mean, damn, I get it. I just, it's tough. I guess if they treating his family like crap, ultimately he would want to leave. I guess that might be the deal breaker. We'll talk more about this. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast, the Infinity Sports Network.